the Lord? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you excited to be in the house of the Lord? Yes. I'm also excited, and thank you so much. I see Evangelist Hilda and your friends. Thank you so much. It's an honor to have all of you. Amen. I have, the Lord has deposited a message in my heart that I just want to go directly into that message because I believe the Lord is up to something good. Amen. Turn to somebody, tell them the Lord is up to something good. Amen. This message just started. The Lord started stirring it up in the beginning of, towards the end of the week. And I shared with the Bible study a little bit about it. And after the Lord, after I shared that message, the Spirit of the Lord continued to I believe that crank up the volume in my spiritual ear so that I could hear what the Spirit of the Lord was speaking to us. Amen. And as we gear ourselves, as we begin the year, I believe we need to be equipped. We need to have the tools necessary for our productivity and advancement. Praise the Lord, even as a church and also as individuals. How many of you would like to be productive in the year 2015? Amen. 2015, we have to be productive. Not only materially do we want the Lord to bless us, but we want to be mature in the spirit. Amen. We want to be people. See, the Bible says that when I was a child, in the certain scripture, and I think we spoke about this some time ago. When I was a child, I behaved like a child. Amen. And I ate food that I was made and prepared for a child. But when I grew up, then I started to do things as a grown-up person. And it's amazing today, even though it'll be a tragedy for you to bring up a child and you to witness the development and the growth of that child and for that child to be at a certain age, but still, they still exhibit, you know, the behavior of a little child. When a child is grown, when a child is like 10 and they are no longer on diapers, right? It'll be a tragedy if your 14-year-old son or daughter will be in diapers. Actually, maybe that will be a place that we'll all probably be praying about. But when I was a child, I behaved like a child, ate like a child, did everything like a child. But now, when I'm grown up, and I believe that in 2015, God is for a mature Christian that they exhibit his character. Amen. Depended on us. And the who is responsible. No company goes out to hire anybody who is not experienced or anybody who is not responsible enough to come and take care of the duties or offers that they have. But many companies, as you all know, they go through an interview process and they're looking for the best. God expects you to be 2015, and last week here, we declared that this is going to be the favorable year of the Lord. And it doesn't matter what you've been going through. You could be battered. You could be going through a very tumultuous time, even in the house of the Lord. But I believe in the year 2015, as we declared last week, that God is going to convert our ashes and convert it into beauty. Amen. There's going to be oil of gladness it's going to be flowing over us, the oil of joy. Hallelujah. If only we can stay long enough in the house of the Lord. The Bible says, I am looking for somebody who is going to flourish in 2015, and I want to witness somebody who is going to be staying in the courts of the Lord. That is the secret, children of God. If we want to advance, if we want to have meaningful progress and meaningful prosperity, we have to be stayed in the courts of the Lord. For that is where the righteous shall flourish. And the Bible says that we shall be like the cedars of Lebanon, and we shall be like the palm trees, praise be to God, that wither the storms of life, that wither the storms of the elements of nature, that regardless of how much strength there is in terms of a hurricane, the palm tree will seem to go down, but it will stand up just because it is well grounded. Praise be to God. And in 2015, I want us to have an expectant heart. We will begin by myself, because I have an expectant heart in 2015. I'll be able to look back and say, Lord, it was worthy to wait upon you. Praise be to God. You also will look back in 2000, by the end of this year, and you'll be able to look back and you'll be able to say, why not for the Lord? I would never have made it. And it will be like that story that we have all, most of us maybe have heard, of this person who was on a journey, and as he witnessed, and he says, when he was on a journey, and when he was started to trace back his steps, he could only see, just a single footsteps leading to where he was. And sometimes he would see two sets of footsteps, and he looked back to the Lord, and he was asking the Lord, how come that I only see in parts of my journey, how come that I only see one set of footsteps? And the Lord told him and assured him, and he was so encouraged by hearing this from the Lord, that those were the times that it was so hard, you are so bruised, and you are so injured, and you are at the lowest of your point, and I carried you by my shoulder. Praise be to God. There's going to be a story at the end of this year when you're able to look back into your life and you'll be able to see only one set of footsteps, and you'll be able to go to the Lord, and he'll be able to say the same to you, that in this time, in July of 2015, you are so injured, you are at your lowest ebb, and at that point I couldn't leave you, and I held you my back until September. That's when you begin to witness the two sets of the footsteps leading to where I have brought you. The Lord is going to be with us. The Lord is going to guide us. The Lord is going to protect us. Hallelujah. The Lord is going to teach us how we ought to go. Praise be to God. I want somebody to be excited about 2015, because it doesn't matter where the devil has put you. It doesn't even matter the reports that people have talked about you. It doesn't even matter how many emails you have received, that each and every text that you receive, each and every email you receive, it leaves you discouraged, and it leaves you like you're all alone. But I want to assure you that God is on our side. Amen. He is able. I like the song that we sang here today, you know, and I thank God for the worship team, that they say that Jesus bore our shame. Jesus bore my cross. I love it, because he is the only one who could have done that. Praise be to God. And so today I want to talk about bearing the fruit of righteousness. Amen. Bearing the fruit of righteousness. But I cannot talk about what it means to be productive, or to what it means to bear the fruit of righteousness or the fruit of the Spirit without me talking about how we have been justified by faith. Somebody say justification by faith. Justification by faith. A topic that is very, very relevant. If we want to understand what it takes to bear the fruit of the Spirit, we have to understand what it means to be justified by faith. Praise the Lord. And I would like us to go into the book of Romans, chapter number 7, and we will read the first few verses, and we'll also check on Romans chapter number 8, and the first few verses of Romans chapter number 8, and I believe that the Lord is going to bless you. Amen. I'd like you to be attentive. I'd like you to be alert, because this is what the Spirit of the Lord is speaking to us this day. Praise be to God. Romans chapter number 7, verse number 1. And I'll read a few verses, and then we'll be able to reason together what Paul was writing to the Romans. And I believe that Paul was also writing the same to us. And the Bible says, if you're there, Romans chapter number, verse number 7, beginning from verse 1, and I'll read. Or do you not know, brethren, for I speak to those who know the law, that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives. Amen. For the woman who has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. But if the husband dies, she is released from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband lives, she marries another man, she will be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she has married another man. Verse number four. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, and that is to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit. Somebody say, bear fruit. That we should bear fruit to God. For when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit unto death. Verse number six. But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Verse number seven. What shall we then say? Is the law sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law. For I would not have known covetousness unless the law had said, you shall not covet. But sin, taking opportunity by the commandment, produced in me all manner of evil desires. From apart from the law, sin was dead. Somebody say sin was dead. I was alive once without the law. But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was to bring life, I found to bring death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me and by it killed me. Therefore the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good. Praise be to God. Father, in the name of Jesus, you take this word that you lay in my spirit and deliver it to us. It is your intention, Lord, through 2015 that we may be progressive, that we may be prosperous, that we may be productive in all that we touch. Help us, Lord, even to see in this word what you have intended for us, that you have intended for us to be believers, men and women who bear fruit unto righteousness, fruit that is being looked after or for by the world. And if we do not bear any fruit, Lord, it doesn't bring glory to you. And I thank you, Father, because you're going to take this word and you're going to explain it to us by your Holy Spirit, even as I speak this word even to us this morning. Father, we commit ourselves, we commit our attentiveness to you, and I pray that you may give me the utterance in your word so that we may hear what the Spirit of the Lord speaks to us. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Someone who loves him, shout a big amen. Hallelujah. Throughout eternity, God has intended for man to be productive. And as I told you, the whole business about born again, I believe, is for us to be able to pass on that which we have received to the next generation. Praise be to God. If we are not in a position whereby we are so well equipped and have enough tools to pass over what we have received from the next generation, then we have lost our relevancy. Praise the Lord. But for any believer, for us as believers, if we want to maintain our relevancy in our generation, we should be in a position personally or corporately to be able to pass that which we have received from the beginning, or the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, to the next generation. Are you listening to me? If we are not witnessing, if we are not telling people about the love of God, if our lives are not an epistle to be read by people who may not really have time even for us to witness to them about Christianity, then we have lost our relevancy. We are relevant when we corporately or as an individual, we are able to pass on the love of God and the goodness of God and the faith that we have received from our forefathers, from our parents, from people who preach to us. We have a responsibility to train our children up in the ways of the Lord so that when they grow up, they will never leave the faith. Amen. What that means, therefore, is as responsible men and women, we are supposed to know what the Lord requires of us as pertains to our children, as in holding up our family altars so that we can share the word of the Lord and pray with our children, because they will never know what it means to seek the face of the Lord unless they see it from us. Are we together to that point? And so when the Lord laid this word into my spirit, I went into many, many generations where there was the law of Moses. And you remember, like, for example, the law of the Moses, which is in the Torah. I know we have so many Bible scholars, and you have gone through, these things that we are talking here today, like the law of Moses. This is, thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do this. If you do the other, this is going to be the repercussions that is going to happen. In other words, before the New Testament, there was the Old Testament that survived entirely under the law. Are you listening to me? They survived entirely under the law. And what the law, the intention of the law towards humanity, it is, the law was manufactured, so to speak, or it came from God. God intended for the law to be holy, as we can see there. Thank you very much, Sister Lorraine. So that the law is holy and the commandment is holy, righteous and good. God's intention for the law was that it be holy, it be righteous, and it be good. Amen. And that was the whole intention of God bringing in the prophets, in the Old Testament, and then bringing the law, and they said, thou shalt not covet, thou shalt not, we have the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not do this and thus, thou shalt obey your parents, and this is the first commandment with a promise. If you obey your parents, you're going to live a long, long life. There are so many sets of the things that they had. There were ordinances. When people came to worship God, What used to happen is there used to be an offering of this of a sin offering so that people would be accepted before the Lord. And not only that, not so many people were invited into the holy place. Only the preacher or the priest of the day would have access to the Holy of Holies. And the rest of the people, and before even the priest got into the Holy of Holies, he had to offer a sin sacrifices so that the prayers and the supplication of the people would be acceptable to God. Amen? But this changes as we usher ourselves in the New Testament. When Jesus comes, he changes everything, as we are going to see in a few minutes here. And the Bible says, Paul writes to the Romans, and he tells them, as we have seen there in verse number 12, that the law had a thing whereby when we subjected ourselves to the law, it aroused sin in us. Every single child that has ever been born was born with the sin. Amen. In other words, the structural DNA of every little girl, every little boy has sin in itself, in himself. It is not a question whether whether they are going to perform or do an activity that is going to be labeled as sin. No. Every child that is being born here on earth has DNA, Adamic sin that is structured within their DNA. Are you listening to me? And that's why sometimes, when a child is born and it's tending to grow, like my little Joshi there, sometimes he will do things and he knows that it is wrong. He doesn't always do things that are perfect. I can call, like the other day, yesterday actually, in fact, I would call him and he said, no. He said, can you imagine that young little boy telling me, I told Jeremy, Joshua, come here. And he tells me, no. Where do you think he got that from? I never... You see, now even right now he's flaunting Wendy because I'm talking about him. I never sat down with my son to tell him that when somebody calls you, you need to disobey and say no. But in him, there is a structural sin that was Adamic that has been passed on from generation to generation. And God intends for that structural DNA to be misconfigured so that it is erased and eradicated, and so that the purposes of God in every human being can be achieved. And I'm bringing to you that in 2015, we shall know this truth, and this truth shall set us free. Hallelujah. And the Bible says in the book of Romans, as we have read here, Paul writes to the Romans and he tells them that under the law came and quickened that Adamic sin that was inherent in every human being. And he says that without the law, I was alive. Okay? Without the law, I would never recognize the power of sin, because sin was sleeping like a giant and it was incorporated within the DNA. But when the law, which was good and righteous, was exposed to the sin, it revived the sin, and the sin started work and it killed us. Are you listening to me? Let me repeat myself. God loved us so much, and he sends out the prophets, and we kill the prophets. And God, you know, wonders, what am I going to do this? Why did this man that I created, Adam and Eve, disobey me? Because through their disobedience, sin came to the whole earth. And I have to deal with this sin, because I cannot contend with sin, because I'm a righteous God. I am holy. I cannot just deal with sin. What am I going to do so that I can bring man closer to me? And so God introduces the law, and is holy, and the commandment is also holy. But when it is introduced into a human being, it arouses the sleeping giant called sin, and immediately the giant called sin is aroused, it begins some work. And the work ends up to death, spiritual death. It brings death to a human being. Praise be to God. And if you read the preceding verses, the verses that follows there, Paul is saying that the thing that I want to do, I don't even do. Amen? Have you ever been in a position like that? You say, you know what? I want to wake up and pray. But you know, you realize that the moment that comes for you to wake up and pray, you don't do it. And the things that you don't want to do, that you find yourself doing. Huh? Have you ever found yourself in that? The things that you want to do, you find yourself doing. And the things that you don't want to do, the things that you want to do, you don't even do them. And then Paul says that the power, that sin is embedded within the flesh. And that when I am exposed to the law, this law arouses the power, the sleeping giant of this sin. And that sin causes him to do the things that he is not supposed to do. And at the conclusion of chapter number 7, Paul writes and says this. He says, what a wretched man I am. What am I going to do? But he concludes and says, but I thank the Lord Jesus Christ, who has come to destroy the power of the law in me and introduce the power of the life-giving spirit in my heart, so that the purpose of the fulfillment of the law can be accomplished. Beloved, I want to put it to you, as long as we are under the law, anybody who is ungenerated, anybody who doesn't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, he is under the law. And the fulfillment of the law can never be accomplished, because the moment the law finds sin in their lives, it is that the sin begins some work that would lead that person to spiritual death. Amen? And so Jesus, God in him, in his sovereignty, he says, I have to deal with this idea. I need a created man that he may be productive. I created man that he may bear fruit unto me. I created man that he may bear a spiritual fruit. Because when you have a spiritual fruit, you know, the fruit is the ultimate, result, or the ultimate, how do I put it? It is the ultimate beauty of any tree. Amen? If you have an orange, you cannot say, so I have some orange trees here. If you have never enjoyed any fruit in that orange, how can it qualify to be a fruit? Amen? So the fruit is the ultimate, reward. Yes, this is the word I'm looking for. The fruit is the ultimate reward of any plant. Amen? When I have an apple, when you go chew an apple in the store, have you ever considered, you know, by the way, when I go to the store, I don't buy any apple. I don't like apples that I eat and it's like ugali. I like apples that when I eat, it's like crunchy. They are called Gela. Gela apples. Huh? I like Gela. How many of you love Gela apples? If I don't find Gela apples, I'm not going to buy any apples in the store. Because I like the crunchiness. And have you ever thought for a moment, when you're enjoying the flavor of that apple, where it has come from, that it involved a farmer strategizing and having a conception that, you know, this year I want to raise up some apples. You know, he doesn't just decide, you know, this year I'm going to have some apples, and it speaks into the atmosphere and the apples become. No. He has to do something towards the end results. Amen? So he plants some plants and he takes care of them and all conditions favorable. There's moisture in the soil and there's rain and there are pesticides that are applied on the plants. And you know what? And God also involved, because he is the one who brings. Let me tell you, you guys have come from a farming country. When a farmer sows seeds, does he stay there tapping on his finger and singing a song so that the harvest can come right there? What does he do? After he sows the seeds, what does he do, evangelist? He takes care. But what does he do immediately? He goes home, right? He goes home and waits, right? And after about a few days, 7 days, he comes back to see whether they have started. Now, what causes germination? The moisture. But what causes moisture? What brings moisture? God. Why are you forgetting that is God? Let me tell you, there can be, he brings the water, he brings the moisture, he makes the condition to be necessary. But who causes the division of the cells for that? From, you know, first of all, the seed dies, right? And from the embryo, if I remember my biology clearly, that cachet begins to stem up. Now, what causes the cell division there? God! So he goes and waits and he comes back to see whether God has started work. And surely when he comes back 7 days later, he realizes God has started work on this wonderful work that I started here. And the seeds begin to grow. And it begins now to become like an apple plant. Those of you who have never seen an apple plant, by the way, I've seen maybe a little bit, but I can't even tell. If you brought me an apple plant, I wouldn't even tell whether this is an apple plant. But the farmer who does it, he knows this is an apple plant. There's no way he would have sowed an apple plant and now all of a sudden some bean plant came. That would be really wrong. And you would go and wonder whether he had planted some apple plant. And so this tree grows and grows, but the ultimate reward comes. Whether it is 7 months later or 6 months later, I don't know how long it takes, you know, for an apple to mature properly. That when this farmer goes those
apples are hanging by the tree like this. They're wondering, when are you going to come and rip me? Because I'm almost falling myself on that tree. I am ready to be eaten by somebody.
So when you're going to enjoy that crispy apple in warm fruit that you bought from Walmart for $3.99. It came a mighty long way. Huh? It came a mighty long way. As you crunch it, there is the sweat of the farmer. There is God involved. There's so many things that are involved. And so God wants us to be productive in the year 2015 to bear fruits unto righteousness. But there's no way we are going to bear fruits unto righteousness if we don't understand the significance and how the process of bearing fruit. Because as a matter of fact is, we can be just nominal Christians and we find we are blood washed and we are talking in tongues and we are doing everything that is required as a believer. When somebody looks at you, he will know that you're a believer. You even carry a big Bible to signify that you're a believer. But we can be big, humongous. I talk the word humongous again. We can be so articulate, but still lacking relevance. But God wants us to have relevance in the year 2015. I better be walking like I may not have money in my pocket, but I communicate with God every day. I better be the one that is known to not have any money in the bank, but I may have relevance. I may be that Christian that is being pointed and being accused of so many other things, but I may have relevance. God is calling for us to have relevance in the year 2015. Not only corporately, but personally. Are you listening to me? So what the law came and instigated sin. It aroused this giant and caused fruits to be made. There was the working of the sin. I remember when I was a child, nobody told us. I knew because I used to go to the mass, you know, Catholic mass. And, you know, there was sometimes, you know, the padre would tell us it is wrong to sing and we would recite the Ten Commandments. So I knew it was wrong to steal. And with young guys, I remember, in fact, God, because the Spirit of God, Jesus said, I came to fulfill the law. I came to fulfill it. Glory be to Jesus. And I want to conclude. Hallelujah. Remember the story? This emphasizes what we are talking about. In John 8, verse number 1 to 11, it is a story about the lady who was caught in the act. Eh? In the act, you know? And Jesus, the Bible says that at dawn, I don't even know what Jesus' time wants you to wake up. At dawn, yani usiku kuja kupambazuka. At dawn, the teachers and the Pharisees were gathered together. Now these guys, now think about how crooked people can be. Yani Jesus is coming so early to teach them, but now they have decided, you know what? This is the day we are going to catch this savior that's calling himself a savior. They brought this chick, you know, this lady was caught up in adultery. Huh? Sorry, I said chick. That one. They brought this girl who was caught up in adultery. You know, you have to interest the message so that you can remember. I know some of you are going to remember Pastor said chick. But it is okay if you can remember the story. When you don't say chick, I used to say chick. Ah, chick even now. Chick. They brought this chick here who was caught in the act of adultery. Right? And they say, now what do you say? Hey, tell us now. You're ready even to teach us. What do you say? Hey? The law of Moses. See the law. The law of Moses said, if somebody is caught up in adultery, what you're supposed to do is stone her to death. What do you say now? And Jesus, the Bible says that he started writing on the ground. He said, let anyone who is without sin. Let anyone who is without. In other words, Jesus knew that there was the Adamic sin that is ingrained in each and every one of them. And they were exposed to the law. So the law had already done a destructive work in them because it aroused the sin called the giant called sin. And they were also messing around. You see, these Pharisees, they used to come and sit in the Bible. If you read Matthew 23, it says these Pharisees used to come and sit in the front there with long beard and long mavazi so that they would seem to have self-righteousness. But in them, in fact, the Bible says it's like washing. They were washing the cup on the outside, but inside, filthy. So Jesus told them, anybody is without sin, let him be the first one to cast stone. And the older ones understood what that he meant. The Bible says they started leaving from the older ones. See, they knew the problem. They started leaving one by one. And the Bible says that they were only left with this adulteress. And the lady says, oh, is there no one anywhere to condemn you? Neither do I condemn you. Why? Because Jesus knew it is just a matter of time. I'm just about to step in her eternity and I am just going to come and make everything right in her. So the Bible says, oh my God, I can't wait to go to the Romans chapter number 8. Listen to what verse number 8, and I'm concluding with this one. We have to read this one, guys. You have to allow me. The Bible says, as I conclude on that story, there is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Who do not walk according to the flesh. Say, that is me. Say, that is me. Ah, how many people are born again? Lift up your hands. Let me see. Then say, that is me. Hiya, I said you say, that is me. Can we say in council? Yes. There's no condemnation in you. For those who are in Christ Jesus. And because they do not walk according to the flesh. Because I do not walk according to the flesh. But according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Imagine that's what he says. Hiya. For what the law could not could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did it by sending his only son. That's what I told you. By sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. In other words, Jesus condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things that are on the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is at enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. So in other words, you have the Spirit of God in you. You do not walk under the flesh. There is work that is taking place in you. In fact, the word of God says that it is him who causes me to will and to do that which is the perfect will of God. Whether you know it or do not know it, church, listen to me. If you do not take anything from this message, that there is work to produce a fruit unto righteousness in your life. And when I'm talking about the fruit unto righteousness, it should be all-rounded. God has prosperity financially in mind. God has spiritual prosperity in you in mind. God has you as a person who is supposed to pass over the gospel of Christ to other people. It is you. No angel is going to stand in your place to do the work of the Lord. Are you listening? So if anybody comes to you and tell you, you are carnally minded, tell them the word of God does not say so. I walk in the Spirit. They may not see it at that point. Or maybe the things that you are doing right there and then, it may not really be connected to what you're supposed to be doing. But tell them, I am walking in the Spirit. Amen? Are you listening to me? God has an intention for us to develop fruits unto righteousness. And so when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, we need to have this background that the Spirit, the life-giving Spirit, is in us to fulfill the righteous requirement of the law in us in order for us to be productive, to be materially productive, and to be prosperous spiritually and materially in the name of Jesus. Are you listening to me? Stand on your feet. We are concluding now. Amen. The book of Galatians, chapter number 2, verse number 20, says this: I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live now in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself to me. Jesus gave himself to us. The life that we live right now is not under the control of the flesh, but it is under the control of the Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you and I bless you. Come on, take time. Just thank God for the blood of Jesus. Just take a moment. Just thank him. Thank God for his Son, who was revealed in the form of a sinful man to come and crush sin DNA in us and to give us the life Spirit giving, the life-giving Spirit of Christ that dwells in us. Come on, take time to thank him for that. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your Spirit that dwells in us. Thank you for your Spirit, Lord, the grace of God that you have poured out unto us, the unmerited favor. Thank you, Jesus. We didn't deserve it, Lord. But you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for us, for the sake of all humanity. Thank you, Jesus. The righteous fulfillment of the law is completed because Jesus dwells in us. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you. We adore you. We are honored to be in this house. We are honored, Lord, even to be listening of your word. I just want to speak a blessing to every word, everyone in this auditorium. Father, I pray that their lives will never be the same. The Bible tells us that we shall know the truth and the truth shall set us free. The devil plays on our ignorance sometimes, many times. And he wants to delude us of the things that God has intended for us. Father, I thank you because the enemy is being exposed in our lives. And when he whispers to us that we are walking in the flesh, we are going to tell him to the straight to the face that we are walking in the spirit and that we belong to God. Because the life that we live in this body does not belong to us, but it belongs to God. It is him who lives in us. Yes, Father, I thank you. Christ crucified. We've been crucified with Christ and resurrected with him. And the power that brought him to life dwells in us mightily in the name of Jesus. Father God, I speak a blessing over your people. May you minister to their hearts in the name of Jesus. I take power and authority over every plan of the devil that is being instigated and assaults of the enemy against their lives. I cancel and let the powerless every work of the devil in the name of Jesus. I declare that they are going to be victorious in all that they do in the name of Jesus. Let the light of the gospel be illuminated into their lives now and forevermore to the glory and honor of your name. In Jesus' precious name we pray. You might be here never given your life to Jesus. I would never want to close this meeting without inviting you to come and receive Jesus. If you receive Jesus, not only is he going to come into your life, but he's going to come and cause a configuration of your DNA. So no longer you're not going to be a sinner. You're going to be called the righteousness of God because of what he has done. You might be in this meeting never giving your life to Jesus. Bible says that it's easy. You only have to believe in your heart unto righteousness and you confess with your mouth unto salvation. Lift up your hand. I'm going to pray with you before we go home. Is there anybody who wants to give their life to Jesus? Lift up your hand in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father God, I declare the glory of God upon this people. I pray that the canopy of your glory shall rest upon each one of them in the name of Jesus. Illuminate into their lives that they may see clearly the plan of God, your plan concerning their lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Someone who loves him shout a big amen. Amen. God bless you so much.